Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. What I'm worried about is that I was actually trying to launch Skype through my application called Piezo that is able to record both sides of the conversation. And I think something went wrong because Skype is working, but the Piezo application doesn't seem to be.
Well, if it helps any, I'm recording.
Right.
I have the MP3 Skype recorder that just starts automatically whenever I'm Skyping, because pretty much the only time I Skype is for, like, meta purposes, so...
That's so cool. Like, the freaks were just, like, everyone's a freak. That's fine.
Don't say anything
you don't want on the record.
Sorry?
Don't say anything you don't want on the record.
That's true. It's not that we're necessarily planning on sharing this conversation, but...
No, I know. I try not to do that either. Oh, my God. And I just killed it as it started working because I'm a stupid... idiot. Well, anyway, one recording will be enough.
Yeah. And I'll send it to you when we're done.
Yeah, whatever. So did you have time to sit down and think?
The one that I'm thinking about the most right now is being accessible, and like how fandom can be more accessible and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all of them. I don't know. I tend to talk a lot once I get going. I don't know how much time you have, so if you need me to start wrapping it up, make sure to tell me because I can talk forever.
I will tell you. It's 1 a.m., but I'm on a very offset schedule, so
yeah.
I'm not really sleepy yet, and I'm just having, you know, fruit, and I might just start knitting because it helps me think as well.
Yep.
Then that's fine. You can tell me what you think.
Okay, so I guess the first thought, like, when it comes to fandom being accessible is just that, like, right now, maybe I had a weird experience that, like, my first fandom, Queer as Folk, seemed to be a lot more open to not just fixing. Like, the first, Christmas gift exchange that I ever took part in, they're like, you know, if you want to offer anything, you're welcome to join. Like, my first, like, in that gift exchange, I made a vid, and I received HTML coding. Someone, like, sent me HTML code for my present.
Wow. Was that, like, a legend layout, or?
She made me, like, a Spanish web page.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, like, I had, like, a really crappy one, and she had, like, put CSS and all the stuff together so that it actually looked pretty. And I used that for years. But, like, I can't imagine, like, I've never seen another Spanish gift exchange be that open. And it was amazing. And I don't know anyone that left that gift exchange unhappy. Everyone that I talked to was really happy about it. Whereas, like, my next fandom, which was Stargate Atlantis, I went in there and they have, like, a gift exchange. And they're like, thick only. Here's this com for, like, everything else. So they had, like, a fit gift exchange and an everything else, which was just, like, an everything else being art.
Did you say it was Stargate?
Yeah. I just...
You won?
SGA.
SGA, okay.
So, I don't know. There could have been other ones that just, like... And I went there from, like, my happy career and hope time being like, oh, I'm going to sign up. And they're like, no bid. Go somewhere else. Because I was exclusively a bidder at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is disappointing. And then I started podficking, and things went even more downhill. Because, like, if vids weren't that welcome, podfic just wasn't even mentioned. So it's, like, made me really aware of, like, how welcoming fandom is. And as someone who runs, like, I do run a lot of com. I don't necessarily know how much my com running really plays into this, because I don't think, like, I run such specific comms. They have a single purpose, and that single purpose is generally a subgenre of podfic. So it's hard for me to be super inclusive because I've got such a specific purpose. But, and I totally, like, you know, if you're doing something that's really single purpose, that's totally okay. Like, you can go in and run, like, a really specific comm and not feel the need to be inclusive because you're trying to get a specific thing across. The times that I think it comes more into play are, one, when you're trying to be an everything comm, like when you're a notice board or an announcement group that, like, people go to get their Spanish information, that if you're not welcoming to everything there, that's hurting more because it's giving, like, a Spanish attitude. And it's not being what you're, like, if you're kind of trying to be, like, a one-stop shop for this fandom or this pairing or this whatever, you're not offering that by not welcoming all fan art.
And you're being prescriptive.
Yeah.
If you say we are, like, we are the place for all author-ins stuff, and then you don't even make Podfic available or list it in the possibilities or refuse it when it comes up or whatever, then you're being prescriptive about what fandom is or is not, like what legitimate, you know, stuff is.
And, like, I totally get that as a mod, you can't always see everything coming. Like, sometimes you've never even heard of some of the stuff that fandom does. I know I am someone who, like, tends to jump in feverish and be like, let's start a comm, and then have, like, no idea what I'm doing. I do that less and less these days, but, like, years past, I would do that. And sometimes, like, I just didn't know what was out there or what people would end up using my comm for. But I think there's a couple things that you can do even when you're doing those things to, like, be more open to allowing people to use your comm for their purposes so that you can better fulfill your purpose. One, having rules that are open-ended enough that people don't have to sit there going, is my fan work going to be allowed? Am I going to be breaking the rules to do this?
Yeah.
And two, being, like, really quick on the, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, especially on LiveJournal and DreamWith and things like that, the tagging system is all important to find anything afterwards. So, like, it's understandable that you might not have a tag created already for it, but going in and making a tag the minute it's presented, or having a place where people can go and ask without it being this huge pressure thing, like, oh, can I get a Podfic tag made?
Yeah.
Because, or even just, like, I know there have been places where it's like, okay, they have a Podfic tag, but they also create author tags for everyone, but they don't create Podfic tags for everyone. So it's like, you can find my stuff under the Podfic tag, but you're not going to be able to sort it by me,
but
which makes it less welcoming.
So you don't get the right to an author tag? Because I'm posting to author, Ian's author, actually, on LJ.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ian's author, they have so many rules about tagging. I have to reread them every time. It's kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an author tag because, of course, they were made for fic. Mm-hmm. But then they take Podfic. And basically, the author tag is the buy tag, like in King Bingo, right? Mm-hmm. So when I tag a Podfic post, I tag it for the author of the story, and then I tag myself as an author.
And that was the idea.
Like, no one ever told me not to do it. You know what I mean?
I know, like, part of it for me, like, I'm thinking in this case of, like, Kratom Kiss, where I would go and post all of my American, well, all of my Kratom American Idol Podfic. And I would, if the author had a tag, I would tag it by author, and I would tag it by Podfic. And maybe I was supposed to go and ask for a tag. They didn't say anywhere that you're supposed to ask for a tag, though.
Right.
And no one ever gave it to me. So it wasn't easy to get a tag if that was the case. And I've looked back, no one added a tag later. A tag for me just doesn't exist, even though I've posted, like, quite a few things over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, and I just deal with it, whatever, but it's not that welcoming for a new person.
No, of course.
And just having, like, I know, like, this is something that, like, really kind of cheesed me off at the time. There's this one American Idol comm called Kratom Madness, and they describe themselves as, like, an anything-goes prompt. It's kind of like a kink fest, but not.
Mm-hmm.
But they welcome absolutely everything. And they have, like, in their rules, they have, you know, for fic and for visual art. But they've also got, like, rules for, like, if you want to post your cake art, like, things that out there, or, like, your knitting art, which is awesome, and I totally support that. They don't have any rules for podfic.
Wow.
Never mind that, like, I've gone and posted podfic there. Never mind that, like, the mod who runs it is probably one of the most podfic authors in the fandom.
What?
It just didn't occur to her to include podfic in her rules or anything like that.
Wow.
So it's like kind of like you know that podfic exists. You made rules for theoretical cake art. Why are you not including podfic?
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, even my example. I mean, I didn't make a fuss, but the fact that it's author whatever on that com is already just a proof of how fic-centric it is.
Yeah.
Because what about visual art, you know? Because what about all the other things we could do with that pairing, so.
Yeah, when you have, like, a general announcement-type com, and it drives me nuts when they have, like, fic-only. Because, you know, then that means that, like, you're not being the one-stop shop that I want, because I don't want to just read fic. I want to watch vids. I want to listen to podfic. I want to look at icons and art and things like that. So I much prefer, like, when it's an everything goes anyway, but I know a lot of times podfic can squeeze into fic comms just because it's so close to being fic, whereas maybe things like vids and icons don't get to squeeze in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely, like, if you're going to allow it, one, say that you're going to allow it, and two, maybe, like, treat it the same as any other art, because a lot of them that I've come across just don't. And, like, the other kind of con that I really feel especially needs to include, to be more inclusive in general, is, like, there's always, for every fandom, or subsection of a fandom or whatever, there's always the comms that everyone signs up for.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big thing, and everyone's, like, waiting with bated breath for, like, reveals to happen or for the next challenge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I dislike when those are fic only. Or when they, like, have, like, a list that isn't inclusive. Because, like, when those are the types of things that the whole fandom wants to get involved in. And I get that, like, including more artwork can sometimes exponentially increase the mod work. I get that. I've run these kinds of things. But, like, when the whole fandom wants to get involved in it, it's really, I find it really, I don't know, isolating when I'm not included.
Yeah.
When it's like that Stargate Atlantis gift exchange that I was talking about, where they're like, everyone was signing up for the fic side, the art side was like the less loved cousin, and it was like, it didn't get that much attention, there weren't as many people, and everyone was like just excited about the fic side, and it's like, I want to participate in that, please let me. And I kind of feel like, if you're going to run something that big, personally, I kind of feel like you have an obligation to try and include people. Like, I love that Fandom Big Bang this year had a round just for podfic. That they, like, they saw that podfic was popular in their fandom, and they wanted it to have a place. So, like, just, they have, like, oh?
It's dropping, right?
Yeah. Are you watching the video? It automatically turned on, but it's asking if I want to turn it off.
You can turn it off if you want.
Oh, now the thing went away. There we go.
Yeah, you turned it off.
Cool. But yeah, they went, Fandom Big Bang went, they have normally two rounds, like a short fic and a long fic side, or a shorter long fic and a longer long fic
mm-hmm.
round. And in between those two rounds, they did a podfic round where people could record, Big Bangs from previous years.
Right.
And, like, I love that they went and included that, because podfic doesn't fit that easily into the art side of a Big Bang.
Yeah.
And, like, they I don't know how, like, I haven't read every piece of their rules, but, like, I know that, like, one person submitted for their art side of it, like, sculpture. They have, like, made little clay sculptures for it.
Cool.
So, like, it seems to me like they're really accepting and open, calm, which I think is amazing, and I wish more comms could be like that. But, like, yeah, those big ones, and they're not inclusive, or, and, like, I've had, the other thing that's super big to me, if you want to be inclusive, is, one, you have to be responsive when people manage to get up the courage to ask, because I know that there's a lot of times I just don't have the energy to go and ask if I'm allowed to participate in the way that I'm most comfortable. But when I do, like, there have been times that I've been, like, all out ignored, or, like, I remember, like, one of the first times I did it, it was for this time at American Idol, I think it was Kratom Gift Exchange, like, Holiday Gift Exchange. At the very beginning, when, like, sign-ups first came out, I went and asked, oh, hey, can I sign up to give PodFic? Because they were allowing fic, and I think they were allowing art and things like that. And the mod didn't respond. To be fair, she didn't just ignore me. She was ignoring everyone. I think she just, like, set everything up and went away. And then, like, the day or a couple days after sign-ups had started, then she went and answered everyone's questions.
Wow.
And there's a couple of people. Sorry?
Right. No, I was just nodding. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and there were, like, she was telling people, you know, sorry, I answered late, you can still sign up and I'll accept it. But, like, with me, I was like, so can I do PodFic? And her response to me, which, there were two problems with it. One, she didn't know what she was talking about, and two, she waited too long. But her response was, oh, well, because not everyone here is a fic writer, we can't do PodFic because they might not have fic for you to PodFic. And I was like, that's totally not what I was even planning on doing. I was just going to look at the fic they like and choose something, like what they like, and PodFic that.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I hadn't even considered that. Well, it's too late. No, we didn't ask people if they were into PodFic. So, and I was like, grr, and dropped it. So then the next year when they ran it, I was like, so, last year, you said, you know, you found out too late, or it was too late to do anything about it. How about this year? And they completely ignored me that year. Didn't even respond.
You know what? I mean, not that I'm here to, you know, help you write something that I can record and not help you get into trouble, but that's the sort of thing where I would be making public posts on my journal to denounce those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a mod of a thing like that, you're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want because you're the one running it. And that is a law of, like, fandom everywhere. You know, modding is a hard thing. If someone's not happy with what you're modding, they can mod their own way somewhere else, even if it's to do exactly the same thing. Even though they will get into wank for doing exactly the same thing, but that is allowed. Like, when someone says, yeah, I'm the mod, I decide, everyone just shuts their pie hole, which is fine. But that doesn't mean we can't discuss what modding styles are and what mods actually do. And,
yeah,
and modding is also a thing that brings a lot of popularity and that a lot of social cred and that's not something that people should just always take for granted when they behave like asses.
Yeah. Like, I was definitely just like, I just didn't have the spoon to deal with it. Although, the other most recent modding thing that I got into, I definitely took to Twitter and bitched about it. Because, I had signed up last year for Crowd and Big Bang to do PodFic. And I said I was doing PodFic. No one said anything. I didn't specifically ask if I could. I said, so I think I just signed up to do art. And then when my author got me, I'm like, yeah, I'm primarily a PodFic. And she's like, oh, want a PodFic it? So I sort of did that. And I handed it in. No one said anything. So I thought it was all good. And then this year, I signed up for Werewolf Big Bang and Kratom Big Bang again. And they're run by the same mod, with, like, basically the same rules with, like, the keywords changed.
Right.
And werewolf thing happened first. And I claimed my story, and I talked to, and luckily it was an author that I had already podficked, and I talked to her about it, and she was super excited about me podficking her Big Bang. And, like, one of the reasons why I didn't specifically make a big deal about asking the mod first if I could do it is because Big Bangs are not designed well for podfic. First of all, you have very little time. It's a month. And, like, for last year for Crowd and Big Bang, I ended up just recording, like, the intro of the fic, like, the first half hour, mm-hmm. because it was a 75K fic. There was no way I could do that.
Right.
Not when I was also running Pod Together. And, like, this year, and the other thing, like, and that can happen with any Big Bang. And having a month, and even for some people, like, at the 10K level, that only having a month to do it isn't long enough. So I don't want them to, like, I know that if they are to include it properly, there would have to be a bunch of rule changes because, yeah, time isn't enough. And two, like, the authors are only required to have a rough draft done for the artist.
Yeah.
So if they still plan on rewriting the whole thing, that's not no good for podfic. And, like, that ended up happening to me for Werewolf Big Bang, where, like, I think I got the whole thing, like, a week before it was due.
Right.
Actually, no, the day that the art was due, she hadn't even finished it yet. So I, like, sent in a rough draft of, like, a cold read that I had done of the draft that she had given me, but she was still revising it.
Right.
And so, like, I was editing right up until posting day, which was my birthday. So I was, like, running away from my party so I could, like, edit podfic. It was so bad. I don't think I'll ever do a Big Bang again. That, like, just sneaking up the wire like that. Yeah, I didn't want to bring it to her attention because I knew that, like, if rules weren't really designed for it, and she might say no just because she would expect me to change the rules or because she didn't want to have to deal with it. And so I was like, okay, if I just do it on my own, she clearly doesn't have any objections. I'm just going to go and do that. But this year, when I sent in my, like, half-done cold reading of the first draft, she's like, so podfic isn't actually one of the accepted art forms. It's too late to change anything now, but you at least should include a cover art.
Oh, that's the one who said that.
Yeah. And I was like, are you shitting me? Because, yeah, she had said nothing last year. And when I pointed that out, she's like, well, these are two different comps, even though I'm the same runner. And, the insult of being like, you have to at least include cover art was just like, and that's like the only podcast I've posted without cover art since I've started posting cover art. Because I was just like, well, like I told you, I was like editing right up until like we posted. So I had no time to do it. But I was also kind of the principal of the thing. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But like, and what got me is that her rules, like they accepted visual art and she listed off a bunch of visual art. And she's like, and anything in between. And they accepted fan mixes. So I think podfic's a pretty vague anything in between there.
Yeah. If you have vocabulary that says, go nuts, you can do whatever the fuck you want, you cannot get upset when people do whatever the fuck they want.
I know. And, like, especially, like, I went and I signed, when I signed up, I explicitly said, hey, I'm doing podfic. She's like, oh, I don't read the sign-up. My bad. I'm like, yeah, that is your bad. Like, you're a mod. Step up.
Yeah.
I read everything that goes on in my comms. Like, I don't read the comments for, like, every single post that happens with someone else's, like, announcement of their podfic or whatever. But, like, every mod post, I know exactly what's going on. And, yeah, like, this comm wasn't so huge that, like, it would be unbelievable for her to do something like that. It was just like, come on. And you can't include terms like everything in between or, you know, post anything that's related to the topic if you're not willing to follow through. And more than that, if you're not willing to support what comes through. Like, if you are really not, you can't say anything's okay and then not provide tags for it. Or if you're going to include, like, any sort of art, then you have to be really vague on your art rules.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think back to, like, my Crowd of Madness one, where they had, like, rules for submitting your cake art, but not rules for submitting your podfic.
Yeah.
They could have saved a lot of problems if they had just had really vague rules that, like, would cover everything instead of trying to get so specific.
Agreed.
So, a lot of this is just me bitching about the comp that I can't sign up for. But, I don't know.
Can I say something that I think only now, but when you started saying very, very early on, when I said, so what subject did you think about or whatever, you said accessibility. And I think it's a good, I mean, it's kind of fraught to use that word for what we are bitching about, I feel, even though there's a relation, because stuff like having clear rules and stuff like that, and inclusive, you know, being inclusive to everyone has to do with accessibility, clearly. But accessibility is used so much for, like systems and logistics for various impairments and stuff like that, that when you said accessibility, when I asked you, I first sort of didn't understand what you meant.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where, if I meant accessibility in a different way.
Well, it's just, I think it's both inclusivity and accessibility, right? Because, I mean, it is about making comms and challenges and fests and fandom infrastructure in general accessible to everyone, but accessible in the sense that we can not just peruse but also participate, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a different accessibility from the idea of, like, wheelchair accessible or vision impaired accessible. So I just think it's a word that we need to use carefully, maybe.
Yeah. Sorry, I have my emails open. I don't think I actually said accessible.
No, it's not in the email. It's early when we were talking when I asked you.
Oh, okay.
Early on the conversation, and I was like, what do you mean? And I mean, I didn't say, what do you mean? I said, what were you thinking about? And you said accessibility. And I was like, for a second, precisely because you hadn't put it in emails before, I was just like, what does she mean? And then you started speaking, and obviously the topic became very clear. But so I thought that maybe if that's, you know, that it's the word that we... That I don't think it's irrelevant. I don't think there's... It's not like you use that word by mistake. I think it's relevant because it's close, right? It's kind of the same problems, and it's kind of the same mindset of making stuff usable by everyone or just by a certain number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And forgetting the fringes and the margins of your target population. So... There's definitely a relation there, like a connection.
Yeah. I think, I know that, like, back in Podaware days, which this is the only one that we ended up not getting edited in time for the podcast to go up, but we did a podcast about fandom being more inclusive and accessible.
Right.
So those things can sometimes be tied in my brain, because we were talking about, like, you know, the actual, like, people with disability side of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes those words can be tied. But definitely, like, it does come down to, like, you're making fandom kind of exclusive.
Yeah.
And do you really want to do that? Especially, like, and you're within your rights to, like, we're not going to demand that you, well, it's fandom. No one can demand anything with any real heat behind it. We could just ask and, like, sometimes say it in a demanding tone. But, it just comes down to, like, these are people that you're not letting be part of your fandom. And wouldn't it be more awesome if they could be?
Yeah. Totally.
So.
And I think it's not, I mean, I see a link with accessibility in the sense that it's anxiety-inducing as well. Like, it's creating strife for certain people. mm-hmm. it's creating strife from being cut off of, like, main, you know, Spanish engagement, and it's creating strife from having to always be able to cope with potential conflict because you have to bring it up. I mean, mm-hmm. it's definitely tied into stuff that you can do to relieve anxiety in your fandom, you know, friends and participants. So,
yeah. So much of my meta comes around from, so I want to bitch about this in a way that people will actually listen to.
Well, it's a powerful motivation, which we all need if we want to get through to doing things, I guess.
And I just, like, that's a lot of, like, floaty thoughts, and yeah, with a lot of examples that I've specifically gone through. Like, have you gone through very many examples?
Well, I mean, not super personally. Because I'm not sure if it's because, but I think I have a tendency to go for the path of least resistance, right? And even very unconsciously sometimes. So I'm part of these people who sort of move from fandom to fandom and ship the main OTP most of the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I follow the party, because it's not, some stuff are important to me, and I have opinions on characters and opinion on pairings and storylines, and I have tastes of my own, obviously, but mostly I like to follow the party, and I like Spanish engagement for...
I do that too.
...the that it brings me, right? For the participation and the community and the sense of shared enjoyment and all that. So a lot of stuff is... It's not that there weren't obstacles. It's that I just dropped something because there was an obstacle. And
yeah.
I unconsciously dropped something. Like, I don't even have an anecdote to say, oh, this happened, and so that, you know, I dropped that because I couldn't get it done the way I wanted. Or sometimes I just don't even notice that I swerved to the right because there was a boulder in my path.
I was really curious if you had felt anything being from Inception fandom, because back when Inception fandom was still, like, new and shiny and anyone talked about, I watched the movie far after it came out. Like, I think the only reason why I watched it was because I was going to VividCon and I expected there to be a ton of vids on it, although there weren't actually, and I wanted to get what they were talking about. But I kind of decided before I even saw the movie that I would never be an Inception fandom because of all the wank I saw of Inception fans bitching about Podfic.
Did you?
Yeah, I just kept seeing people being so entitled and like, being so like, oh my god, what's this Podfic? Why is it all over the place? Go away, go away. That I was like, I can't go there.
I'm so curious to see that. If you can ever remember where, what, have links or whatever, I will take them. I
probably can find them again. I don't know if, like, they were pretty anger-inducing. Especially, like, there was a lot around Penny's Spring Fling that kind of was what...
Oh, I remember the Penny's Spring Fling stuff, but was it all Inception? I don't think it was.
Most of it was happening on the Inception and non-memes.
Oh, well, but I avoid non-memes. I remember the Penny Spring Fling thing. I was very angry at that, but I didn't, it wasn't particularly associated with Inception as a fandom in my head. It was just fuckheads being fuckheads.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know.
It's not a story, but the thing with my least resistance thing is that what happens is I just, I stopped pretty much asking for permission. And so, not because I don't ask, I mean, I don't ask, but not because I don't want permission or because I don't care having it or not having it, although this is complicated, but because asking permission bothers me. It bothers me philosophically a little bit. It bothers me logistically kind of a lot more. And it bothers me socially a fuck ton. So what I do now is I only record people when I already know I have permission. because I've been to them in the past, because they're my friends and it's easy to ask, or because they have a blanket permission post, right? So I can't really, that's one of the ways that I avoid problems, but one of the ways that I avoid furthering the cause as well, in a way, right? I never fucking ask for permission, because I don't even want to have to do it. So I stick to perfect that I can do without asking.
Yeah. See, I've been in situations where I've been braver than I naturally would be, just because I kind of, at various times, feel like I'm representing Podvic fandom instead of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing that brought about the Dear Author letters, that was started by a conflict I had with an author. Revolutionary Joe went and created the first Dear Author letter, and then I was kind of like, this is an amazing idea, everyone else should do it. But she did it based on a post that I did, based on an interaction that I had with an author, where it was, again, this BNF that has, like, more podfic of her than pretty much anyone else in the fandom. She was going, and when you made a podfic of her fic, she would go and host it on her webpage. And she never told me she was doing that.
Yeah, I have a problem with an SGA author who does that as well.
Sesperanza?
Yeah. Never confronted her yet. And I wrote about it.
Podcast confronted her, sort of.
Did she?
But what
did
she? Yeah, where she was like, because all she was, what she specifically confronted her about was that on her page, like her podfic page, she wasn't linking to anywhere where you could leave the podfic or feedback.
Yes.
So she went, podcast brought that to her attention, and she did that, but yeah, she's still hosting everyone, and I don't think she asked anyone.
So she added links to what?
Yeah.
Feedback?
Yeah.
I didn't know that she had told her that. Did you have discussions with Kath about that?
I didn't hear it straight from podcast. Gingerly went and made a tweet one day being like, I had a nightmare last night that someone was uploading my podfic without my permission. Then I woke up and remembered it was real.
Yeah, I remember that tweet, yeah.
Yeah, and then Aphelont was like, what? Who is this? And Gingerly's like, she did it to you too. And I'm nosy, so I was like following it. And Aphelont was like, no, I'm going to confront her about this. And I, like, emailed her about it, asking her about it. So, Aphelont and I were talking about it. And then, I don't know, I think she was the one that eventually told me that Kath had asked her about it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I saw it. But she made a post, like, I was also, like, kind of stalking Cisfranz's LJ.
Right.
Excuse me, to see if she said anything. And she eventually made a post about it. So.
Yeah, I completely missed that.
Actually, that's how I found out about it. It wasn't that I was refreshing. Someone else is, like, really pissed off about her post because it was, like, one of those, like, oh, well, someone pointed this out to me, and it was, like, kind of really not gracious and, like, kind of blaming, like, trying to, like,
push
blame off herself.
Someone bothered me about this, so I guess I had to up my game.
Well, she was kind of like, well, when I started, like, when people started podficking, this was the norm, so I just never thought to look into it again.
I never typed my fucking post. It would have made me so angry, I would have emailed her right away. Well,
sorry?
I say that and I don't know, because I never have the courage to actually confront her. But I'm surprised I never saw that post, because I have a friended.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I don't...
Yeah, I remember that day Ginger made that tweet because it's a thing we already had talked about, like, before in chat, maybe, you know, a month before or something.
Yeah. So this happened, like, at least a month after that initial tweet. It was not a fast thing.
Okay.
Well, and, like, the other thing is, like, Bessie Boo recorded Chicago's Most Wanted for Podvic Big Bang. So, like, we had even brought Bessie in on it, and Bessie was like, well, I can approach her as the new person that hasn't podficked her before, being like, so, you don't know, you might not know this, but I'm not cool with this, and maybe the other podfickers wouldn't be cool with it either. But I don't think that ended up happening.
That's sad, because that's a lost opportunity. I feel bad because I'm, yeah, because it's been years and I never said anything, and it makes me feel like my complaint is invalid, which it's not, because it's not, because that's not the way it works. But, I mean, I think what, part of what stops me is that I can't honestly 100% say that she never asked me.
See, I knew that Jerrykeen hadn't asked me, and if it had just been me, I knew that she was doing it. I was like, fine, I can live with this. It's not like I don't have my podcast hosted other places I don't have complete control over either. I've got the archive, whatever. But then I was like, you know what? There's a lot of people that have podcasted her, and they probably don't know. So finally I confronted her being like, hey, I'm okay with this, but the others might not know, and there's, like, really good reasons why this is information you should be telling them, because, like, I mean, just like anything, if you need to take your work down in a hurry, this is being archived somewhere you don't know about. If I need to, like, disappear from the internet tomorrow, which is saying something because I don't actually, like, I'm very unsupportive of people pulling their shit off the internet. Oh, I'm like, no, you put it out there, you have to, you made your bed, you need to lie in it. But, like, I totally get, like, if you're going to be fired from it, or if you live somewhere where it's, like, possibly putting your life in danger, I would never want to stand in someone's way. And
also, it's a double standard anyway, right? Because that's why we have a taboo on archiving people's fic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, finally, what, like Jerrykeen was, like, pretty horrified that she had done this taboo, and I guess she was saying, like, the first couple podpickers she asked, and then just assumed it was always going to be okay. So, like, she made an effort to, like, contact all of the podpickers that had podpicked her and offer to remove it and let them know, like, she had created, like, a the way she was hosting it, she even had, like, a stats page so we could see how often people had downloaded it. So, like, she had done a lot more than a lot of people would have. And, in the end, she adjusted her blanket permission statement to say, you know, if you podpick something of mine, I am going to host it.
Right.
So, although I was, like, it made me sick being in that conversation, because the other thing is, she's a BNF, and if she, like, the fact that she gave blanket permission influenced a lot of other authors to giving blanket permission, and I'm always afraid, like, that if you go and confront that one author, and they're like, bitch, no, I'm good at, like, Podpick sucks now, and then they go and badmouth Podpick to all of their author friends, then, you know, it's going to set the Podpick movement back, or something like that. So I'm always super paranoid about that, and I always, like, you know, you could be, like, a nobody author, but I give you so much more power, even though, like, I'm a pretty big name in Podfic, I have a lot of people behind me, I always give authors this power that they shouldn't necessarily have.
Right.
Because they could badmouth us and set Podfic back 10 years, or, you know, internet 10 years, so, a day.
But it's a difficult position, because you want to be, it's not, you don't want to keep attributing them a power they don't have or be paranoid, but at the same time, you know, you have enough examples to be paranoid, like, for it to be justified or to feel justified. Like,
the one podfic that I took down, I so wish that I had talked back to the author.
But you honestly didn't know that they hadn't given permission.
Oh, yeah, I honestly didn't know, and I didn't want to piss them off, and I wanted to, like, you know, but in retrospect, this all would have been okay had they not been passive-aggressive and ignored us. I'm pretty sure that the other person, like, giving, like, best-case scenario, the person that asked permission, she said that she found an alternate email address and got permission. So best case scenario, she was telling the truth, and some author got confused and like, gave her permission, and it was the wrong author.
Right.
So, and worst case scenario, she didn't hear anything from the author, assumed she had left the internet, and just was like, well, she'll never know. Let's lie and say she said yes. Both situations would have been avoided had the author actually responded to the email that she got. Because the author full-on acknowledged that she got the email and acknowledged that she just didn't answer.
Oh, shit.
So if she had not been a bitch about it and answered, none of this would have happened. And, like, you know, hindsight, whatever, but, like, I wish that, like, she was acting, like, completely the wrong party, and mostly she was, but she was not acknowledging her part in it, and it left me with a lot of unresolved issues that I think I'm finally over now, but, like, it took for a long time that hung over me, being like, why didn't she want Potvic? Like, I felt I couldn't talk to her at all, because I was just like, oh, what if she, like, badmouths Potvic more than she already has? And, like, yeah.
But she already, I mean, I think the reason, I mean, not that, you know, again, I don't want to get you in trouble or anything, but I think one of the reasons that I wish you had talked back is not just because of what you said, which is sort of rationally true, but also because, if I remember well, when she made a post about it to talk about it, I don't know if it was in the middle of the situation or at the end, but at no point did she stop badmouthing you. Even though I didn't know you at the time, and I don't think she named you, but I think I remember seeing posts that were like, this horrible person made a potfic, even though I forbid it. And
yeah,
and
she made a post saying, like, just because you bought someone at a charity doesn't mean you have the right to take my fic and potfic it. I have a blanket no statement. You're not allowed, like, no one should touch my fic. And she didn't name me. She didn't name the person that I had made it for. But even, and I got the potfic down within, like, I think 3 hours of her making that post and her finding out about the potfic and her emailing me and stuff. And I still had someone come over to my journal and badmouth me for it.
Right. No, but what made me furious when I finally, you know, understood what had happened was that she made you look bad for potficking, never acknowledging, not even that she could have diffused the whole situation by answering email, but not acknowledging that there was a third party between you and that you might be innocent of whatever crime she was accusing you of.
Yeah.
And that is so dishonest.
Yeah. Granted, she might have not really have believed me, although she saw that it wasn't me that emailed her the first time, so whatever. Like, you know, she was just, like, it was just a situation that I was like, get out, get out, get out, get out. But in hindsight, I was like, oh, I wish I had handled that differently. And, like, if it happened to me today, and I think I would be so much better at it if it happened to, like, someone else. Like, you're on the Podfic Yahoo group, right?
Yeah, I am. Although, I haven't seen anything recently. I mean,
there's not a lot that happened.
Yeah.
But, like, when Podcast went and made her post being, like, that author that was, like, totally mean to her and was, like, stop sharing my fic, even though she had never asked Kath to take it down, Kath had to approach her. Like, I was ready to go in swinging. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it's also, it wasn't you. I think it's easier to defend others.
Exactly. If it had happened to me, I still think I would, especially since I've already kind of gone through it once, I would have handled it differently than Kath did, but it's a lot easier to defend others than it is to defend yourself.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure you've matured and you've developed tools and you have, you know, explicit stuff floating around where you can be, you know,
and I'm also right
that you can read whatever you could read to make up your mind properly, but
the other thing is I'm connected enough that I know if I took a stand there would be a shit ton of pot pickers behind me,
right?
Like, I can think of, like, at least 20 people that would stand behind me, let alone the people that I don't know about that probably would.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference, too.
Yeah.
It's just, gah.
Okay, I wanted to tell you another thing, because I started on my whole thing with the path of least resistance, which means that I don't even really have stories of problems because I've already changed course to avoid the problems and not do the stuff I wanted to do. From afar, I've seen and remember problems with in terms of inclusivity, because we're not really looking for horror story particularly, you know, the whole thing of inclusivity. I remember when Podfic Big Bang, Bandom Big Bang, I think, started saying we're gonna include Potvik, maybe, and they were gonna have a discussion about it, and I think Crazy But Sound, I spoke them to say, can we include Potvik or something like that, and then they said we need to brainstorm, and then they had a poll at some point. And then eventually they included Potvik in the challenge. And they did that thing where they didn't actually include Potvik. They included voice performance.
No, that's Reverse Big Bang.
That's Reverse Big
Bang. Yeah, Bandom Reverse Big Bang.
And Reverse Big Bang, right.
Because Bandom Big Bang was, never mind, doesn't matter.
For me, this is a very, I think this is a thing, I mean, it's going to be your text and I shouldn't be the one writing about it anyway, because I don't think I can make it a positive, interesting thing. I'm very bitter about that process. I think it's a mixed bag. Like, I'm trying to think about it objectively, and I think it's good that a group like that said, okay, we're going to think about how we can include this new media, and then had some form of consultation of the community about it, and then found a way to include it or to include something and expanded the horizon, basically, and allowed a new thing in. I think when you look at it like that, which is kind of objectively, you can't say it's bad, right? It's a positive experience of trying to do new stuff and managing to do new stuff. And yet, at the same time, they were approached for developing ways, for thinking about how to include Potvik in their challenge, and they didn't include Potvik in their challenge. They allowed Potvikers to make adverts for themselves as performers that might be chosen by a fic writer. This is not the same thing as making a piece of art that stands alone to serve as the inspiration for a story.
Can I defend them for 1 minute here?
Sure.
First of all, the idea for the voice prompts came from a podficker. It came from KLB, who at the time was probably one of the biggest BNF in Potvik fandom in Bandom. So, her voice and her suggestion carried a lot of weight. So, she was just kind of, they kind of looked at her as a representation of Bandom and took, or a representation of Potvik in Bandom and that added a lot of weight to what she wanted. And two, I wouldn't quite say that if they were adverts like you said, because what they did is they chose these scenes, and they put voice to scenes that they then built a story around. So they took they acted out a prompt, which I guess is not exactly Podfic as we see it, but it does kind of fit more in line with how Reverse Big Bangs work, because authors are taking what is created as a prompt and going from there. And I think, while I know you've talked about, say in your post about including Podfic and Big Bangs, about how you can take a story and then write a story from that, I can also completely understand why, one, that's really, it's a lot harder to do that, where you take a story and write a completely different story about it. And two, it's involving more people in that way, and that's a level of complexity that I don't, I wasn't there for the voting, I wasn't there for the discussion, I don't even know if that was put forward or how many votes it got, but it...
I don't think it really has to involve more people, because you can just, Kim Bingo says, or Potvik Big Bang says, you can't do this if you don't have permission. That's all we ask. You don't have to.
Yeah, but you're then completely narrowing down. When you go and ask, you have to go and ask the author's permission. Hey, not only can I Potvik this, but can someone else write a story about it?
and it's getting kind of more into remix territory or writing a sequel or, like, because that's going to happen. People are going to take it and they're like, okay, I'm going to write this missing scene. Okay, I'm going to write, and regardless of whether or not you should have to ask for those things, it's common practice to ask before you do those things.
So obviously, and that's why I say, like, objectively, I don't think anyone, even me, even if I'm bitter and annoyed, I don't think I can say it's a negative development. It's not a negative development. But if you're talking about inclusivity and how to include stuff and to develop stuff, I think this is a really good, I'm not the right person to make it, but I think there's a really good case study there. There's a really good thing to examine both the difficulty of opening up and the rewards for opening up and the stuff you leave on the side when you choose ways of opening up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe there is no way to do potfic in reverse Big Bang and have a potficker submit a potfic. Maybe there isn't at all.
I think what Reverse Big Bang ended up doing was, rather than finding a way to include potfic, it found a way to include potfickers.
Exactly.
And so they could do these voicings instead of doing a full potfic. Though that said, Reverse Big Bang did get at least one full potfic out of it, because Night Tracer did her voice thing, her voice acting, someone wrote a fic about it, and then in time for it to be posted with the fic, she turned around and podpicked it, including her original voice prompt.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting because it started off with her voice prompt, and you're kind of like, and I remember listening to it not realizing that it was the Reverse Big Bang one. I was kind of like, huh, this is kind of a weird scene. And then they did the story, and like that, the voice prompt was like the climax of the story. But it was one of those, you get to see the climax first, and then you see the build up to it.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool. So it would be, like, I think that could be a cool way to go, like, to do a completely different com of, like, here, do a voice prompt, someone writes a fic for it, and then you do the podfic for it,
mm-hmm.
to get true podfic out of it.
But, like, you know, I mean, I think what I'm really bitter about, like, if I'm honest about it, what I'm really bitter about is that I think they did their best and they had intelligent suggestions and they did something that works. And it's not even my fandom, and, you know, I have no, the height of my feeling, like the fact that I feel so strongly about it is completely down to me and like almost not legit and invalid, but, you know. But one of the things that I think made me so annoyed is that I think they chose too fast. And they probably chose well so that it allowed something to happen in that one year, in that one challenge. But mm-hmm. you know how when things happen, they have a tendency to then settle and stay as they are?
Yeah.
I think what made me annoyed was that I think by thinking about it longer and trying different things, we can probably find even better, we can probably invent even better solutions. Like, I understand the whole thing where you can't have, submitting a whole podfic is a whole level of complexity and authorization and even, like, creating fear and striking fear in the hearts of authors that are going to get a prompt from, you know, an author they hate or a story that that completely reduces them to tears or, you know, whatever, that would be very complicated. But I still think there are other ways that we can explore. And I know that one challenge will not be exploring them because they settled onto something. And so it made me bitter completely stupidly just because I thought they had, I expected them to trailblaze in another way. But anyway, like, regardless of my feelings, I just think that's a really interesting thing to look at, because you're like, how can fandom be more inclusive? That's an example of fandom being more inclusive.
Yeah.
And it's a good one, and they did it in a reasoned way, and yet it still also means, you know, I don't know, sacrifices from the people being included.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be included as a pot picker. I would not be included as my pot picker.
Your artist
right.
is not. The art that you choose to make isn't included. But you could be included to make something slightly different.
Exactly. And that's an interesting takeaway. Because it's the only way to change a challenge that already exists, because maybe the best way to include stuff is to create more challenges that function differently. And
honestly, I would like to see for people to just start making challenges that are, like, completely different from what they currently are now. Because I feel like...
That's one way.
I don't know. Maybe this is, like, rose-colored glasses or something. But I feel like there's, like, a set of maybe, like, 20 different kinds of comms that just get made over and over and over again. Whereas I feel like that wasn't how it used to be. I don't know. Or they just, like, you know, there seems to be a Big Bang for everything these days. And Big Bangs are awesome. I'm not, like, I like the results of Big Bangs as much as the next person. But sometimes I'm kind of like, huh, maybe there's, you know, a different kind of, or a different way we could run this. Especially, like, you know, I have some issues with Big Bangs, how they treat art like a prize. Even reverse Big Bangs.
I don't actually like Big Bangs all that much precisely because of that. I think Big Bangs are inherently unequal. And
yeah, like...
And there are so many Big Bang mods that I would gladly slap in the face and walk away from that I don't actually like Big Bangs. I like the results of Big Bangs sometimes, but it's really not a challenge mode that I enjoy.
Yeah, and especially it's designed for, like, even the art that comes out of it, it's exclusive. Like, yeah, Potvic isn't easily accepted there. Even vids aren't easily accepted there. It's real, like, I've done vids for two different Big Bangs. And it's really hard when you're sitting there going through the prompts going, oh, that's a cool prompt. I don't know how I can fit that at all. On to the next.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to try and get a vid done in the time frame that you're given. It's to, like, not only read the fic that you have to turn into a vid and then turn around and vid it, it's not easy to do. And if you want to do something beyond, and, like, on a personal level, I don't get much out of cover art. I'm not, like, saying that cover art shouldn't exist. Clearly, it's amazing. I make it myself, and lots of people love it to pieces. But it's not something most of the time that I get much out of, especially since a lot of cover art tends to be minutes of scenes we've already seen. Like, especially in American Idol, there's only, like, so many, like, you get to know every single photo shoot, and they all get used for, like, oh, it's this kind of thing. Go to this photo shoot and add, like, a different filter over it. I just personally don't get much out of them. So, I like that there's a challenge for people to push themselves to get these long stories that we wouldn't have maybe gotten otherwise, but I kind of wish that it wasn't like, and here's your cookie at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I feel, like, whenever I run comp, I'm always like, oh, what kind of cookie can I offer at the end? And then it's like, well, I guess I'm going to do a graphic. But then I feel like like shit going to, like, oh, hey, Bessie, or, like, the other artist that I know, would you mind, like, putting your amazing skills into making cookies for everyone? But I just feel like I'm exploiting them. So then I end up making something crappy on my own. And I just kind of wish, like, you know, maybe the satisfaction of getting a bingo would be enough.
Yeah.
Or maybe the satisfaction of creating something that you might not have otherwise should be enough. Or on the other hand, sometimes, like, I haven't signed up for Podfic Big Bang ever. This year, like, I just didn't really have time. Last year, though, I, like, debated about it and consciously decided not to, because I didn't like some of the rules that they had, and I didn't like I was really anxious at the idea of handing my Potvic over to have someone add sound effects. That made me anxious, and I didn't really want that.
Oh, is that how I didn't know that was... I never looked into... Because if I do a long Potvic thing, I'm going to do Pot Bang, not Potvic mm-hmm. Big Bang. So I never really looked into the rules for Potvic Big Bang.
Potvic Big Bang, your art, can be a cover art. It can also be like, adding sound effects and maybe even fan mixes. I might be wrong. I don't think fan mixes. Although I think some people used adding music as adding sound effects.
Right.
And I was just kind of hesitant about handing over my POSIC and having someone else edit it. It just kind of made me anxious. And, like, I know, actually, KLB the first year did it. And she had Betsy Boo make it. And she can't, like, the sound effects version, she's like, the quality of my voice is degraded. I don't like this. And Betsy ended up fixing it, but she was really anxious about it for a while. And Betsy didn't have time to fix it before it had to be released. So some people went and downloaded this version with a lower voice quality that made KLB unhappy.
But, like, you have blanket permission on your work?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm less anxious about it now than I was at the time.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I don't have to acknowledge if someone remixes my work, whereas I would have had to.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been pretty rude to be like, so here's, you know, Amit Sooner's sound effects version, but here's it without too. Like, that would have felt rude to me. I would have felt like, oh, you have, like, go after this amazing sound effects version. At least if someone remixes it after the fact, I can, you know, choose to acknowledge it or not, or I can, like, still have my version out there. I don't have to, like, get rid of my version.
Yeah. No, I agree that it's different circumstances.
Yeah. So, and, like, I think I honestly consider doing it again this year. But it was, like, the other thing that I'm kind of a stickler, like, especially since I started running comms, I've become more of a stickler for actually reading all the rules of comms, which I know a lot of people don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if there's, like, a rule that strikes me oddly, it'll just be like, no, not doing this.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the things that, I don't know if they had it this year, but last year when they were doing POSIC Big Bang, they had a rule that all of the images used for cover art and, like, I think even the sound effects had to be non-copyrighted or, like, Creative Commons, or you had to have permission to use it. And I'm like, what kind of cover art are you expecting people to use that won't use? This is fandom.
Yeah.
Like, we're not allowed to take, like, a picture of Arthur and Merlin from the show to make your cover art? What's up with that? And I think, like, E.S. Rose is very big on that, like, in her personal life, like, that I've noticed. And she applied those rules to her comm. And, like, I get that. I put my own ulterior motives in my own comms. But I was just like, that seems like bullshit to me. I don't want to get involved with that. So I walked away.
It's the sort of thing that, like, weakens fans' sentiment that what they do could be fair use. And most of the time is fair use.
Yeah. And, like, I did the same thing with fandom Big Bang this year, and I know you had gotten involved with the discussion, but they had in the rules that you weren't allowed to cross post to Amplificathon.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, I do not want my posting messed up that way.
Regulated like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, especially, like, and they do have rules that you're not allowed to cross post, but their rules are super weird, and I think we're, like, because fandom Big Bang's been going on for, like, at least 5 years, and I think some of their rules don't really make sense anymore, because, like, you're allowed to post to your own journal, you're allowed to post to, like, AO3, you're just not allowed to, like, cross-post announcements, so, like, you're not allowed to go to, like, the local fandom comms and be like, oh, hey, I posted this fic, and I don't quite get the, and they're like, they're saying they don't want to do it for spamming reasons, but I'm kind of like,
that's not your responsibility.
Well, and I'm kind of like, how is it less spammy to let everyone cross post on the same day?
Right.
Because there's going to be, like, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that will, like, never cross post, which then they screwed up their thing, or they might wait, like, a month to cross post when they finally remember, but there's going to be a lot of people that are like, okay, today's the day I can cross post, and then that day is just going to be filled with spam.
Yeah.
Like, I don't quite get the mindset, and, like, I could even, like, when people are like, don't cross post, I expect you to have one place that you post, but you don't post your fic or your pod, well, they were actually posting pod fics directly
to the band of Big Bang Calm. But, like, with on the fix side, people don't post direct, like, you just post a link to the band of Big Bang.
Right.
And then link back to wherever you decided to host your fic. So I don't quite, I don't know, it just doesn't quite make sense to me. And I find that a little weird. And especially with podfic, like, there's a lot of people that don't post their podfic to their personal journal. They might just post it to Amplificathon.
Yeah.
I know podficers that do that. So having this rule, like, no, just link, like, that's really messing things up for them. And, like, I kind of wish that I had handled that better because I know Night Tracers put a lot of work into this, and she would have listened had I talked to her. Like, she actually came to me when they first started talking about including podfic and Bam and Big Bang. She emailed me and asked me, like, for my opinions on how you could run this. And, like, I know she would have listened, but I kind of thought it was just a me thing. But I still don't think those rules make very much sense.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, and I mean, you know, we all have to have some criteria somewhere that allow us to decide whether we take a plunge or not on more kind of commitment and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think.
And, like, honestly, I was on the fence before I read that. Like, I want to participate, but I don't really have time. Especially since I was so, like, I wasn't even in Bandit when sign-ups went out. They were just letting you sign up. Like, you could sign up almost until, like, the due date you could continue signing up. Mm-hmm. So, like, I had lost a lot of time in the original time frame. And the other thing was, because I was so new to Bandit, I hadn't read, like, any of the fics that were open to being podfic. So the amount of time it would take me to find a fic that I wanted to record,
yeah,
and then record it, it just would have been too much pressure. But I was still willing to contemplate it, and then this role was just like, no, that made my decision for me. If I had honestly had, like, a fic that I wanted to record or something, I probably would have done it regardless of the role.
Yeah.
That was just a deal breaker for me. But, like, that was another reason why I didn't sign up for, like, Plastic Big Bang, was because, like, especially the first year, is it was to put, like, you had to make a podfic that was a minimum of 10K. And I was like, I already, like, that's my comfort zone. That's where a lot of my podfics are at already.
Right.
I don't need this com to motivate me to do it. And some of the rules I don't like, so I'm not going to do it.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, I love Podbay. Even though it's, like, so much more stressful because it's, like, you have to make a podfic that someone else will like. So, like, sometimes, like, yeah, the first year we did it, I, like, had a fic decided, like, right away. It was no problem.
I forget. Podbank is an exchange?
Yeah, it's a gift exchange.
Yeah, that's a thing, yeah.
And then, like, actually, my first year, I, like, signed up saying that I would, because I always sign up twice. I sign up once as a group with my roommate and once on my own.
Yeah.
And the first year, I signed up on my own and said I was willing to do some things that I would be willing to do, but I wasn't that familiar with those fandoms. So I ended up with someone that was, like, matched to me on, like, Doctor Who Gen.
Woo!
And, like, I read Doctor Who Gen, and mostly when I do read Doctor Who, it is Gen or Femslash. But I just don't read that much of it, and I certainly don't read Big Bang-like stuff. And the first year, it had to be something like 35K was the minimum.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so I can't do this, but if someone else needs a pinch hit, I have this Torchwood long one. And so that's actually, I ended up submitting this Torchwood one that I had already started and was almost done.
Mm-hmm.
And then for my group one, it was super easy to find something. Although it turned out, like, the group one that we made was for Kath, and it turns out she had, like, one of the main elements was a squick for her.
That
she eventually got over because it was handled a lot more respectfully than it appeared on the surface. But, yeah, the next year, there were a bunch of people trying to pressure me into getting into Bandom. Because Bandom Podfic was just taking off, and all these podfics are like, come join me, but I am so monofanish. But I was like, oh, I'll try it. But I couldn't get into it because I was, like, All American Idol all the time. But they were, I was at like a weak point when I signed up for Project Big Bang, and they had, and I said that I'd be willing to do Bando. And I got assigned someone who, I got assigned Ginger, actually, who just wanted Bando, basically.
Right.
And, like, Buffy and some other fans that I wasn't in. So I was like, oh, shit. And I actually ended up switching my assignments on my own between me and my group.
Aww.
Because my group, I ended up, Penny was one of them, and she said she was willing to get American Idol, so I made her an American Idol one. And then Falter, Ginger, got the group one. And we were, like, and my roommates are more into Buffy, so they were like, I was like, you find a fic in Buffy, and I'll read it. It'll be fine. But they aren't as good, like, they weren't as on top of it as I, like, normally I'm the driving force behind our pod bang. Mm-hmm. So I ended up being like, okay, you guys aren't moving fast enough. And I emailed, like, all the people that had pressured me into getting into Bando, and I'm like, find me a Bando fic! And so, none of us having any clue about Bando, we recorded a Bando pod fic.
Do you like it?
I'm quite glad I did it now. Like, at the time, I was like, oh, it's a good fic. It was, like, enjoy it. Like, it was an AU where they were, like, telepathic police consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, an interesting concept on its own that, like, I kind of just approached it like original fic. And I, like, listened to it once or twice afterwards. And now that I'm in band, I'm like, this is so much better now that I know who these people are. Although, in retrospect, I kind of, like, because we always, for the group ones, we choose ones with, like, rotating POVs, and each of us will take a POV.
Right.
And in it, like, my one roommate, Leanne, took Ryan Ross, who, like, I know you don't know Bando, but when it comes to personalities, I feel they were rather well matched. So, like, that worked out well in retrospect. But my other roommate took Gerard Way, and I took Spencer Smith. And I think personality-wise, like, just,
it should have been flipped.
It should have been flipped because I am so kind of a Gerard, and she is much closer. Like, she's so a Spencer. So it's kind of amusing in retrospect, being like, yeah, we really match these people. We just, two of us read the wrong ones.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but whatever. And then I think for Project Big Bang, Leash or Quintessy, or I'm not sure if that's how you say her name, Quintessin.
I never know. Quintessy, yeah?
Yeah, and you know who I'm talking about. She went and recorded the sequel to the podfic, or it was actually, like, written as a sequel, but it was a prequel.
Right.
Or it was written after our fic as a prequel. So I'm glad she did that, because I have a thing about, like, when people record the first fic in a series and don't record the rest of it, I didn't find out that there was more to that series until she recorded it. Or said she was going to record it. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I would have, like, harassed my roommates into doing the sequel with me. So that worked out well.
Yeah. I have series that I started and not finished yet at all.
Me too! But I have more issues when other people do it. It makes me immediately want to record the rest of it. Whereas I'm, like, happy to ignore mine. I'm weird like that.
Oh, I think, yeah. I can understand the impulse. I think I'm more concerned about finishing mine, and also I would be concerned about finishing a series that's not in the same voice. I mean, although I like everyone, I mean, I like diversity and all that, so I would be interested, but I think there would be a mix of maybe this person will do it eventually, and they're just like me, they're just being slow, and
I would always, I think if I were to do that, I would always talk to the podficker that had done the earlier part first.
Right, to check. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, and I would be like, are you interested in doing this? Like, if not, can I, like, would you care if I did it?
Yeah.
But, like, there's some, like, you know, there's a big Bando fic, like, podfic Forever Now that KLB recorded. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. It's great. And I just randomly, like, I had listened to it, like, it was actually kind of the podfic that got me into Bando this time around, and I read it and loved it, and then one day I was re-listening to it, and I don't even remember why, but I went to the author's AO3 and saw that there was a sequel. And I went and read the sequel, and it got me into another part of fandom. Like, it got, like, I had only been in My Chemical Romance fandom, mm-hmm. and it got me into Panic at the Disco fandom. And I was like, oh, I really, because it had that effect, like, I think because for me, there's a lot of fic that I never would read, but I listen to.
Right.
Or I never go to read because I've listened to it, that I don't know that the sequels exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only experience it through the podfic. Like, if I have a podfic, I'd never read it, basically, because I can listen to it. Why would I read it? And so I just kind of feel like there's probably other people like me that are missing this. They don't even know it exists, because that's how I am.
Right.
And I'm like, no, they should have this complete experience. But, like, you know, in the case of Forever Now and its sequels, I don't even think KLB was ever in Panic at the Disco, and the sequels are mostly Panic at the Disco. And two, she's not even in fandom really anymore, so I know she's not going to record it, so it's kind of like, I should do that, but it's time I definitely don't have, especially not that now that I've taken on that, like, 200K
right.
series.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to post any until I'm guaranteed that I'm going to finish it, because I don't want another started thing that's not finished hanging over my head. I have two in American Idol that I'm never going to get around to finishing.
Are you saying that because you seriously think you will never finish them, or because you're afraid you will never finish them?
I think, like, one of them is, it's like a, it's the first pick in a series, and the pick kind of stands alone on its own. So I don't think I'm ever going to bother recording the rest of it.
Right.
Like, I just don't think I will, especially now that I don't have that interest in the fandom that much anymore. The other one actually speaks to me really deeply on a personal level, like, beyond the fandom, that I kind of want to finish recording it. And I actually have, like, the next section done. I just haven't posted it because I feel it's unfair for, like, a year later to post the next chapter when I'm not, and there's a good chance I won't finish the rest of it. But the fic itself is a work in progress. It's not, and it hasn't been updated in, like, a year.
Right.
So I kind of am like, even if I catch up,
it's still unfinished.
I'm never going to finish it. So that's kind of dragging me down, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might happen. I'm just, like I said, 10K is kind of my comfort zone. And going beyond that is dangerous for me. Going after the long stuff is dangerous. Like, which is why I felt really weak. Like, and I'm one of those people that I only ask permission after I'm finished recording.
Mm-hmm.
Like, generally, not even after I'm finished recording, after I'm finished editing.
Wow.
Like, I'm generally, like, ready to post when I go and ask. Like, there have been times that I've asked and then posted, like, half an hour later.
Right.
After I get a yes. Because I do have, like, a habit of starting things and then never finishing it. And knowing that going into this, like, 200K thick, that's such a huge project. It's so out of my comfort zone. Am I ever going to get this done? I, like, kind of was afraid to ask because, am I ever going to get this done? And even if I do get it done, I can't, like, on an actual reasonable schedule, it's going to take me 2 years.
Really?
That just seems, like, ridiculous to go and ask and then probably never follow through on. But on the other hand, putting 2 years into making a podcast and then getting a no would just be heartbreaking.
Yes.
So I had to go and ask.
Yes.
And luckily they said yes, and they're like, yeah, it's okay if it takes you 2 years or whatever. So, but, like, that felt really weird to me to go and yeah. But there's a lot of people cheering me on, and, like, I don't normally use a beta, which is bad, because I'm pretty good at, like, catching to make sure I don't have repeated lines and stuff like that, but I'm also really bad at making up pronunciations to words.
Yep.
So, like, oh, this is how this is pronounced, and other people are like, no, it's really not. So, and because I think that's how it's pronounced, I never catch it on my own. So I sent, like, done chapter one, I sent it off to Ink Junk Kit, and she found at least one of those in it that I need to go fix. But having, I think, if I can, like, she's super excited about the project, and, like,
kind of keeping me on topic. So hopefully having her as a beta will help me.
That's cool.
We'll see. So we talked about, like, one of the meta ideas.
Right, but we talked a bit quite a lot about it, yeah. Quite a bit. And I think,
yeah.
I think that idea that maybe what we need is new forms of challenges and tests and stuff is also a good idea, or maybe a good thing to hand.
Especially, as someone who is a comm runner, I know that one of the things that I do is I look around at existing comms. It'll be like, okay, let's go and make that for my purpose. And generally, my purposes require a lot of tweaking. But if you're, like, someone who's just like, oh, let's take this comm, then I'm happy with the output that this comm idea produced in this other fandom. Let's take it wholesale without much tweaking. That is something that, like, you know, you should maybe stop and question.
I think that's why, actually, even though the form gave rise to a series of challenges that are not at all as well-run as it, I think that King Bingo is a really good challenge for that. Like, it was not only an inventive form, but it's been modded inventively, and it's been all-inclusive pretty much from the start.
Yeah, and that's actually... King Bingo is one of those things that I kind of, even though I've never participated in it, and I haven't even looked at it that in depth, I know that it's huge. Like, it's got a lot of participants in it.
And some of it is because it's inclusive.
And that's one of the things that, like, I want to kind of hold up about it. Like, even though making it inclusive probably adds so much extra work for the mod, it's also become one of those things that it's like, so many people are like, this is a big fan of things that I can participate in a way that makes me happy and lets me express myself the way that I want.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. Like, they get so much kudos for me for running it on such a huge scale, for being inclusive to whatever people want to do.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, kind of goes somewhat hand in hand with the whole idea of kink, but, you know, I just wish more people would be willing to approach things like that and to be open when people approach them. Like, and I don't think that you should leave, as a comm runner, you shouldn't leave it as like, well, they can approach me if they want to change it and then we can talk about it, because it is so hard for people to approach.
Yes.
Like, you really have to, if you are open to that, you really have to welcome it, you really have to encourage it, and you really have to actually listen and have positive results when people do. Because, like, I can think of so many situations of people, like, approaching mods, and even, like, a couple things, like, even when they get what they want, having it being handled badly, or not getting what they want and having it handled badly, or, you know, sometimes not getting what they want and having it handled well. And, of course, having it handled well and getting what they want is the best thing. But, like, Fire Juggler, who, when she joined Podfix fandom, she was, like, pushing the Harry Potter fandom to get more Podfix so hard. And she was, like, really, I kind of consider her doing for Harry Potter what I was kind of doing for American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Of just trying to get more and more and more. And she really keeps her finger on the pulse of politics of Harry Potter fandom, although not so much anymore. But certainly at the beginning she did. And there was a situation where someone started a comm that I think it was for Snape Draco was the pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be like an announcement comm for Anything Goes with regards to Snape Draco. And they were like, they had mentioned, you know, fic, and they had mentioned like icons and manips and drawings and, you know, anything else. And so she approached them being like, so does your anything else include podfic? Because, you know, I know personally that I would feel more welcome at your comm if you had mentioned that. And she didn't even just say podfic. She said things like viz and meta and podfic, and she had like a list of fairly common things. And the mod was like, okay, I guess I can add those. I haven't even heard of most of those things, and I'm not convinced you haven't made some of them up.
But she actually told her, I think you made some of these up. And then she adjusted the comm rules to be like, and anything else that you made up on the spot after listing things like vids and putfic. And it was just like it was so ridiculous that she was just, that Fire Juggler was like, I'm not wasting any more time on this because I have to laugh or I'm going to rage. But like, how can you not know what vids are?
Well, also, even if you don't, can you just Google?
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like these things, like, Podfic was probably the newest thing on there, and Podfic's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's maybe not super popular, but like, God, especially when you're taken out of a fanish contest, these are more popular than fanfic!
Of course they are. Everybody's on like, YouTube.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, what the, like, how could you, And she was just like, and you know, Squire Dreckler thought about, like, responding and being like, okay, now you're kind of being insulting. But it was just kind of like, not even worth it. Good luck with your calm.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember reading over all of her rules, and I'm like, the mod in me was, like, cringing and being like, oh my God, these are the worst rules ever. But, like, you know, those are the wrong ways to handle it, of being like, I think you're just trying to be a special snowflake, but whatever, I'll accept it. It's not the way to handle people's requests. And not the way to encourage requests.
No. But, I mean, some people don't want to encourage at all. They want to discourage requests because they're afraid of the work that it's going to be, right?
Yeah. And, like, I kind of feel like, as someone who is a mod, that if that's the point that you're at, you need to look into getting co-mods.
Yes.
Because let me tell you how much I am praising my co-mods this year. I went back to school this year. I've been working part-time while I'm back in school. I've been doing so much on Twitter that Twitter's been getting most of my fanish time. I haven't been making as much podcast this year. I just haven't had time. And, like, I've been dealing with the mental health issues a lot this year, that it was getting to the point where, like, running my comms was just going to seem, like, it was seeming like it was too much, and I couldn't do it, and, like, a lot of my comms were delayed starting up. They were, like, I don't think Podfic Bingo started until, like, February or March, when it was supposed to start in January,
mm-hmm.
And Pod Together started late, but, like, with Pod Together, KLB and I just are a bit better at, like, these are our rules, we don't need to, like, last year there was a lot of, like, is it okay if I do this, is it okay if I do that, we were, like, checking in with each other too much. Now we're a lot more comfortable with our roles and just letting the other one at it. But, like, with Podfic Bingo, I was like, I need help, and I put out a call, and I got co-mods, and it's like, I think Podfic Bingo is going so much better this year than it did last year. Like, people are actually posting to the comm. Like, last year, was all the posts were, like, me being like, and here's a new podfic. And this year, people are actually participating. We've got the monthly challenges. People are getting excited. We've already had a lot of bingos happen. And that never would have happened without my co-mod. And, like, it was hard for me to, like, let go because I can be a bit of a control freak. And there have been times where I've had co-mods that have been hellish. But, like, if you are running something and you just, like, I kind of hate the people that are like, I'm running something that's important to a lot of people, but I don't have time for it anymore, so go create your own, I'm shutting this down.
Yeah.
I kind of feel, like, I know there's a lot of people that take the approach with fandom, like, it's my fun place, and it's not fun anymore, just, it's not, like, stop. But I kind of feel like you have, like, when you start things, you have an obligation.
If you have social responsibilities, you know.
Exactly.
You take on social responsibilities within your peer group. You can't just, I mean, you can, but it's allowed to for others to find you ridiculous or flaky or
be upset about it.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
If you just drop everything.
Like, if you make a million fics and never finish it, people are allowed to be like, I don't want to read her anymore.
Yeah.
And if you start a calm, or like what if Ginger one day was just like, you know what, I find that it's just too much work to run the audiofic archive, it's going to be shut down tomorrow. Like, she would never do that. At least I've gathered she never would from
what
I know of her. But, like, I've seen fic archives go that way.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, this is too much work. I'm getting too much wank. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm closing up shop and I'm taking my toys with me. As opposed to, like, I want out. Who wants to take over?
Yeah.
And, like, I get that it can be hard to see something that you worked and slaved over be taken over by someone else and, like, possibly ruined, possibly changed, or possibly the worst of them all, getting better. because no one likes to think that they were the one holding it back or that whatever. But I know that it can be hard, but, like, it's kind of one of those things that you signed up for it. You need to, if there's still interest. Like, I get, like, I was shocked to find out that, like, the SGA newsletter is still running.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would not blame anyone to be like, you know what, I don't have time for this anymore, shut down. Because it's not like SGA is the powerhouse it used to be.
No.
But, like, on the other hand, and I know, like, I know two of the people that were running this, I was kind of upset when Meta Fandom shut down.
Yeah, totally. And especially, like, because they never really shut down.
They never
They took a hiatus or something to see if they could reorganize.
They never even made an announcement about that. It got to the point where Ferris Cat, who was, like, the only one updating it ever, and she's, like, I know her personally, she lives local to me, so, like, we have brunch sometimes, like, she was in the process of, like, immigrating to Canada, and she just, like, super stressed, and, like, she had to hide, like, a lot of her online presence, because she's poly, and she was hiding that from the Canadian government so that she could get citizenship or get residency and things like that. So, like, it was just, like, a lot of stress for her, and she was the only one doing it, and she just stopped, and she hoped that, like, one of the other editors would, like, pick up her slack, and they didn't, so she's just like, whatever, and it stopped. But, like, I kind of wish that they had been like, know what, we're really busy, could someone else take over, because I think there were even people offering and they just didn't accept them.
Oh, man, that's really sad.
And, like, Meta Fandom was such a powerhouse. Like, it had so much influence and was, like, such a thing in fandom, and it just petered out and died. And, like, I am someone who metas. I've never been, like, a huge Meta Fandom follower, but, like, I find, like, that even the little bit of meta that I was getting, I'm not even getting that anymore because there's no centralized place to find the discussions going on. There's no, like, there's a couple people that have tried to do it personally. Like, I think Right or Wrong often does a lot of, like, this discussion's happening, here's all the links I can find. But it's still not the same, and it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to me because I stopped reading Meta Fandom years before it stopped because it was too busy, it was too much for me, and I had to step back because I couldn't just have it on my list and then not click.
Yeah.
But then if I clicked through, I ended up spending my day getting ragey at various idiots in various discussions.
And some of the discussions would just balloon so fast that you couldn't physically read everything in one day.
Of course.
Not if you actually wanted to read the comments where most of the discussion happened.
Right, exactly. So I was just like, yeah, I can't read this anymore. And I stayed, I think, probably subscribed, but I took it off my default view or something like that. Or I even unsubscribed, I don't remember. So,
yeah.
But it's weird to me now to think that the thing that really replaces Meta Fandom without obviously replacing Meta Fandom without overlapping the same way, right? But the thing that does that now is Anon Meme Gossip.
Yeah, really.
And that's sad, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, it's pretty much the only way that you get the same kind of feel for the zeitgeist. And I really don't particularly like that. But then LJ use and journal use and comment ratios have dropped as well so much.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people doing Tumblr and Twitter these days and Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little, like, when series two of Sherlock aired, one of my roommates is doing her PhD, and on campus, someone had put up the, like, I Believe in Sherlock posters all over the place.
Yeah.
And because my roommate could sometimes be, like, a bit of a shit disturber, she went and put all of these, like, Moriarty is Alive posters up in response and started a bit of a poster war. Which resulted in she finally invited everyone to, like, who was doing these posters to a meetup. And, like, we had, like, this Sherlock meetup downtown Ottawa.
Right.
And it was cool. But, like, I went to the first meeting and I never went to any of the following ones because I just couldn't really connect with those fans because, like, their main way of communicating was, like, Facebook and Tumblr. And Tumblr, I at least, like, Facebook, I was just, like, really sad I'm on Facebook. I do not want to ever go on Facebook. The only reason why I have one is so I can check my pictures of my nephews. But even Tumblr is just, like, maybe if I had gotten to Tumblr before I got to Twitter, but I barely have time to keep up with my Twitter. I do not have time for Tumblr.
Right.
But, like, they were just, like, such different fans than I was. And, like, most of them didn't even have live journals. And they were just, like, such different kind, like, approaching fandom from a very different way than I did. And, like, I've had that for a while because, like, my little sister's fanish, but she's, like, a fanfiction.net fan.
Like my little brother. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just where, and like, you know, fanfiction.net is perfect for her because she loves like Mary Sue self-insertion fics, which fanfiction.net, I can't think of a better place for her to find those things.
And my brother reads, when he was reading anyway, apart from Naruto fanfic and that long-standing video game series, Final Fantasy X fanfic,
yeah.
He mostly reads Harry Potter Gen or Harry Potter Hex when it's Harry and Hermione, I think,
mm-hmm.
And mostly likes Gen plotty case fic adventure stories. So, yeah. FFN was also the ideal place for him. Like, I steered him onto Light Journal in the beginning, and he never found the fic that he wanted to read over there.
And, like, I've tried that with my sister, too, and she's now, and I think, like, she got a live journal just to try it out and stuff, but it never really stuck with her. She's now getting into, like, Glee fandom and Kurt Blaine and stuff, and so she's, like, coming into my circles more and more,
mm-hmm.
because I don't, yeah, like, there's a lot more on AO3 and on journal fandoms, but, like, she was fairly young when she started, so it was, like, a good, and like, it just worked really well for her, whereas, like, with me, I jumped in Queer as Folk fandom, and it just wasn't happening on fanfiction.net that I was seeing.
Well, it's hard, right, because it was early enough that it was still soon after the Purge, and of course, craft fandom has a lot of porn, and
yeah.
Because the canon is porny anyway, and
yeah.
So it's really hard to have an FFN fandom for that.
Yeah, and like, I found fandom by way of my roommate, who was pretty already mocking of fanfiction.net, so it wasn't really something that was put on my radar.
Right.
And I also joined fandom, like, I was in fandom for months before I read fic. I joined Queer as Folk fandom, all about the vids.
Right.
And so there was vids being posted on LiveJournal, but not
on FFN.
Not on fanfiction.net. So I just didn't really go there. And yeah, by the time I was kind of aware of it as a place that I possibly could go, they had already had the, like, no NC-17 stuff. And, like, it became more of a big deal when I moved into Stargate Atlantis fandom because there were a lot of Stargate people that posted on fanfiction.net.
There were?
But they were more writing, like, the pre-slash and the gen.
Right.
And I was already like, you know what? I like it. When it comes to reading fic, I don't want subtext. I want textual.
Yeah.
I like subtext in my canon and textual in my fic. And so I would actually use as, like, and there was a lot of people that would write Jen that knew if they labeled it as pre-slash, it would get more hits.
Right.
So it would be like John Rodney friendship fic, and they'd be like, oh, you can see it as pre-slash if you squint, because it would get them more hit count. So I became really dubious of, and it got to the point where it's like, if it's not NC-17, I'm just not going to bother reading it. And it's not because I like reading the porny part of it. I'm actually, that's not what I'm in fandom for most of the time. Like, I like kinky sex, but vanilla sex is very little for me. Mm-hmm. So, like, most of the time when I hit it in fic, like, 90% of the sex scenes that I read in fanfic do nothing for me, and I end up just skimming them or not reading them in detail. Which is fine, like, I'm fine with that, but it meant that, like, I had this rule where I only read things that were, like, NC-17 rated, even though I didn't really care about the NC-17 part, just because I didn't want to read the Jen.
Right.
And it was hard to distinguish the Jen from the actual slash unless there was sex scenes in it.
Right.
At least that's the problem I had. But I remember on SGA Fix Finders, there was, like, one person that would routinely go around. If someone went and linked to the fic on fanfiction.net, she'd be like, and here's a non-fanfiction.net link, if you'd rather. Because she hated fanfiction.net so much that she would, like, go through the comments and find alternate links for people. And it's true, like, if I went and bookmarked something that was on fanfiction.net, even if it sounded like a really good story, as soon as I saw it was fanfiction.net, I'd kind of be like, maybe I'll read it later. But if it was a non-fanfiction.net link, I would read it.
So interesting.
I just, right from, like, my fandom inception, I was told, steer away from fanfiction.net. So I, like, hardly ever go there. Sometimes I'll go there now, if I'm looking for something that's in, like, a rare fandom, because it does have more, especially if it's an older fandom. Like, I'll hit AO3 first, but if AO3 is not giving me enough, I'll sometimes hit up.
I never go. But, I mean, I never really look for fic, is the thing. So I'm not a good test case for that. But I used to go to FFN and read Harry Draco fic, and that was in the early days of my fandom life, and that was early LJ days, so that was before LJ really became a fic storing and a fic sharing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a journaling mechanism, really. Like, people were blogging, but they weren't sharing fic like that, so we were putting fic on, people were still putting fic on FFN because it was before the purge, the NC-17 rule change. Mm-hmm. And they were putting fic up on Astronomy Tower and Schnoogle and Fiction Alley. FictionAlley.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read quite a lot of fic on FFN in 2001 and 2002 and 2003. But after we had to leave FFN because of the porn ban, I never went back. I practically never went back. I mean, it just so happens now that I've been to FFN recently because one of the people who won me for charity for a project recording asked me to record a story that's on FFN.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good story. And there's a live journal post for the story as well, but the FFN version has future snippets, and she wanted me to record those as well. So I had to use the FFN version. But that was, like, the first time in 6 years that I've been to fanfiction.net, so.
Like I said, when I started in fandom, like, I started in fandom in, like, late 2003. So, stuff had already gone down with fanfiction.net.
Yeah.
But, like, I started off with that snobby attitude of, like, no, don't go there.
Right.
But as I've gotten older and been here longer, I'm less likely to do that. And like I said, sometimes I'll even go and search out fic there. My roommate especially is, one of my roommates loves crossovers. She loves really rare fandoms and old fandoms. And I know you've probably seen me mention this before, like, because she's the one that worries a lot about podficking without permission because she doesn't Potvik very much, but she sometimes is encouraged. Like, she knows that if you Potvik it, people are more likely to listen to it than they would go out. Like, people are willing to go outside of their fandom comfort zones for Potvik,
right,
whereas they might not for fic.
Yeah.
So she sometimes thinks about using that to her advantage of, like, this is an awesome fandom, this is an awesome pairing, this is an awesome story. More people should know about it. So she'll contemplate Potficking because of those ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a lot of Zine fic that's, like, written 20, 30 years ago that she cannot find the author for because Zine fic 20 years old. But anyways, because she'll read, like, these really older, like, she'll read older fandoms, she'll read really small fandoms, and she likes crossovers of any kind. Sometimes the only place to find those kinds of fic is on fanfiction.net because it's so huge and has everything.
Yeah.
And the thing is about fanfiction.net, it's like anything else. 95% of everything is crap. If you have coping mechanisms to find the good stuff on fanfiction.net, it is a goldmine of good stuff.
No, I'm sure.
Most people don't have those coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
So she does, so she's on there a decent amount. And she also reads a lot of Jen, which is a lot more prominent on fanfiction.net. And I know, like, I'm a moody reader. Like, most of the time, I'm in my fandom and reading whatever, but, like, a lot of the time, it's like, no, I'm in the mood for M-Preg. No, I'm in the mood for, like, a high school AU. No, I'm in the mood for something with weird power dynamics. So, and often I'll do that within a single fandom, but sometimes it'll be like, no, I'm really in the mood to read something Twin Peaks today.
Right.
And, like, I've read all the Twin Peaks stuff on AO3. So then it's like, and it's an older fandom, so a lot of, like, the places that people would have been posting
at the time
are gone.
Yeah.
So, or, like, one day I got into, like, a Narnia thing, and it's just, like, I ended up on fanfiction.net, and that's where I was finding what I wanted to read. So I'm not as snobby about it, and I will tend to defend fanfiction.net these days because a lot of people, like, fanfiction.net, how it's run, who it's run by, like, the decisions that they make, I won't defend that because I think they've made some shitty decisions. But, like, when people are like, oh, my God, everything over there is crap, that I'll defend.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But I don't like people who mock it systematically. I'm like, I don't even like,
when it comes to Fifty Shades of Grey, too. That was one of our metaphors.
Yeah, no, but it's just, I don't know, it seems too dishonest with FFN. I don't particularly like the place. I was really unhappy when they kicked off porn and I left and I never really looked back and all that. But I even have relatively good friends who cannot talk about it without calling it the pit of voles, and that's, you know, it's sort of such general fandom lingo now that it's on its own, it wouldn't even be an issue. But sometimes it's so clear that they mean it venomously, you know? And
it's just like, it's kind of, have you seen the flowchart that's like the fan or like the nerd?
No, hierarchy? Yeah, it's the geek hierarchy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm like,
it's like everyone's better than furry. Right. And it's like, in fandom, it's like, well, everything's better than FF.net.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? And there's a lot of people just bandwagon jumping. They've never really been there, or they've never spent any, like, I've never really spent any significant time there. And I know that I was someone who would, like, mock it, and, like, I can't help, like, I have instinctual reactions where I'll kind of think less of something that's posted there, or I'll eye it more hesitantly, and I'm less likely to click through. And, like, I can't really help that. Or I could if I wanted to put significant time into it, but, like, the last 5 years, or no, that's really exaggerating. The last, like, 3 years, I've been an RPF fandom, so it's not like I even could go to FF.net if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's, I just kind of hate when people are bandwagon jumping and they're, like, dismissing things wholesale and dismissing, like, the people there and, like, as though that's their entire representation, which
gets into the, like, the 50 Shades of Grey thing, too, where it's like, you know, there's a lot of arguments that you can make about 50 Shades of Grey not being a good book. Like, I haven't read it. I can't speak specifically to the grammar and the spelling and the prose that is used, but, like, I know that was a specific complaint I had against Twilight, where, like, I just felt that the way it was, like, physically written, never mind the content, was bad, and it didn't appeal to me at all. But, and, like, you know, with 50 Shades of Grey, you can talk about, like, and I encourage you to talk about how it doesn't represent proper BDSM lifestyle and kinks and whatever. But, you know, assuming that just because someone read it and liked it makes them a bad person or an ignorant person or that they are not intelligent because of it is fucking insulting.
Yeah.
Like, because Lord knows I've read a lot of things that are probably worse than 50 Shades of Grey. Because I've read things that, like, would make most publishers cry in a corner that I still found enjoyment from. And that doesn't mean that I don't recognize that there were things wrong with it. There are people that can enjoy 50 Shades of Grey and still recognize that there are problems with it, both, like, within the fact that it's not a realistic portrayal of how people should live their lives and how it's written. Like, I've read things with more spelling errors or, like, where they decided not to use, like, paragraphs. Oh my god, that I used to run into that a lot more than I do now, where people would just be like, what are paragraphs? And you get, like, a 10K fic with one paragraph.
Oh my god.
But, like, you know, that I could enjoy the content of it while still recognizing that it was badly written. And two, like, I could enjoy the content of things that I fully recognize I would not want in real life. Like, I don't know if I said this in my email to you, but, like, I really, really have a thing for arranged marriage. And, like, that whole, like, I grew up reading romance novels, which has a whole lot of bad consent issues, and it imprinted on me, and I really like that. I like the power play, and I like the being forced to be together. That said, if my mother so much had tried to put me up on a blind date, let alone arrange my marriage, let me tell you the holy hell I would raise. Just because I enjoy reading it, doesn't mean I want that in real life or that I'm even going to try for that in real life. So all the people being like, oh my god, I can't believe you like it when it's such a bad representation of BDSM lifestyle. It's like, that's not the point for them.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry. I get off on non-config. Do you think that makes me a rapist? Are we going to have that conversation again?
Yeah, I get off on non-con too. That doesn't mean, like, I get off it from the victim's point of view. That doesn't mean I want to go out and be raped.
Right. So, yeah, like, it's just...
And it makes really bad assumptions about whose point of view you're identifying with.
Of course.
Like, I... Like... Because we're both in SGA. Have you read the, like, Coming Home series by Xanthi?
I cannot read Xanthi. It makes me want to kill someone.
Okay, that's fair. And... She definitely, like, yeah, her writing is not always amazing, although you could definitely see, like, I read General and Dr. Shepherd a total of once.
Yeah.
And I read it as she was posting it, and that was the only reason why I got through it, because I was reading it in small chunks.
Right.
Whenever I've tried to read it again, I've never made it very far, because I was like, oh my god, you're writing. Whereas I've read Coming Home a couple times,
okay.
And, like, her writing in that one is so much better. But, like, you know, there's still a lot, like, and now that I'm, like, farther away from that fandom, I've read more kink stuff and whatever, someone, like, podfixed it, and I went and listened, and maybe there's also something just about translating it from fic to having it in podfic, but, like, a lot of the, like, skeevy stuff about it seems so much more skeevy this time. Whereas, like, I genuinely really liked it when I read it.
Right.
And like I said, I've read it more than once. And, like, yeah, there's a lot of problems with that world. There's a lot of problems with, like, the way she has their dynamic set up that would be problematic if it were real. But that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it as fantasy. And, like, and I really feel for Xanthi and how, like, everything went down with that whole series, because I think there was too many people being like, it doesn't matter if you like kink or not, go and read it anyways. When, like, whether or not you liked kink or not didn't really necessarily play into whether or not you would like it. There's a lot of people that were into kink that were having the exact same reaction that people are having the 50 Shades of Grey going, oh my god,
yes,
that is like consent issues and that's not a proper scene play and like, oh my god, I'm just hyperventilating at the idea of like these rules being ignored completely.
I think
whereas there were other people.
Then he had there was a thing that happened at the time that probably would have happened at the time no matter to who, I think, which was a sudden convergence of the usage of BDSM as a term, and because it was kind of starting for some reason, or it sort of came to a head without getting resolved right away, and still not completely resolved and shifting, but there was a moment like that where she was kind of a victim of the fact that some people were using BDSM to describe real BDSM lifestyles, and some people are using BDSM to describe any non-vanilla kind of
and
thing.
And I know there's a lot of people that have, like, BDSM verse to a lot of people means set in a world exactly like Xanthi's.
Yes.
And I've seen it moved into other fandoms even, and I've had, like, at VividCon this past year, I got into this, like, really long and ultimately stupid discussion with someone who writes a lot of BDSM, and she was railing against Xanthi and, like, hating on her. And I was like, look, she did her thing, and, like, and I was defending her, and she was just, like, not willing to see it. And there were other things going on, and ultimately we were just, like, talking past each other. We were missing each other's points, so it went on far longer than it should have. But, like, she was getting really pissed off because people were telling her that she was writing BDSM wrong because it wasn't like Xanthi's BDSM when she was writing it like more like real world BDSM. And like, you can't help the noobs or the idiots that think that that's the only way it is. All you can do is try and educate them, and she was just tired of educating them and just wanted to rant.
Right.
But, like, I don't think it's fair to blame Xanthi for that.
No, I
it just
and
happened.
I and I, you know, and I have friends who are A, real life gangsters, and B, BDSM writers who tend to write real-life BDSM,
mm-hmm.
but who also write a lot of fantasy BDSM where like, fucked-up universes without consent and stuff like that. And
yeah.
when they write a thing that they call a BDSM verse, it is a Xanthi-style thing.
Yeah.
So even people who use BDSM in positive real life ways and use it in positive real life ways in real life and in fandom still can accept for some of them
yeah.
that BDSM verse as a word in fandom has a specific meaning.
And I'm pretty
meaning.
Sure Xanthi is like a real life kinkster. Like, I'm pretty sure she had said that on her journal or a couple times that I've seen it, that she's a kinkster in real life too.
Oh.
That this is just like her fantasy. She realizes that there's problems with it, but it's like kind of like, you know, you want to write a world where there's suddenly no homophobia. It's not going to be, or there's no racism or something.
Right.
Taking away these very real life things, it's going to make it not a realistic world. And, or you have to put so much effort into explaining how it's realistic that it's not really fun anymore. That, like, you know, she just wanted to write something that was fun and erotic to her and share it with other people. And people, and there was a bunch of people that liked it. And I think it kind of got to the point where, like, people were wrecking it. Like, it got, was getting wrecked so much that people that it's, like, not normally their thing or they would normally backbutton out of it, they're like, no, there's got to be something good about it because everyone keeps talking about it. And they keep reading even though they're not enjoying themselves, and then they feel cheated because everyone told me this is so amazing and I don't see what was amazing about it. I think it's one of those things you either like or you don't. And you just need to, like, if you don't like it, don't force it. Kind of like with Podfic. If you're someone who gets weirded out by someone dirty talking to you or talking sex or, like, even just breathing in your ear, Podfic isn't for you. Don't try and force yourself to listen to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are someone who likes it, keep doing it. That's amazing. But don't, like, and I've always been okay with people saying, Podfic's not my thing. I get upset when they say Podfic's gross.
Yes.
When they make, like, statements that apply not to them but apply to everyone.
those are what I'll go up to bat for. But people just being like, I don't like Potvin, I've always been like, and then you should avoid it. That's the best choice for you.
Yeah.
And, like, because that's the only logical thing to do, but, you know, whatever. People aren't always, like, logical. I don't think you should have to apologize for liking the things that you like. And I feel like with... And, yeah, when it comes to fanfic, like, there's... I don't know a single person in fandom who's read more than, like, 3 fics that hasn't read bad fic. Especially, even if you have read only 3 fics, it'll fit someone's definition of bad fic.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But we give fandom people the benefit of a doubt to, like, recognize that, like, okay, even though it's bad, you still recognize that it's bad, or you recognize that it's not real, or why, how it could be done better. But, like, when it comes to something like 50 Shades of Grey, we're not giving them any benefit of the doubt. We're like, oh, you're going to read this and you're going to think that's what kink is like. When it's like, I've read plenty of badly represented kink in fandom and no one's making those assumptions about me.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, even in places that are more kink-specific, like, if you ever go to places like BDSM Library or Literotica or whatever, there is so much bad BDSM there. And, like, BDSM Library, it's right in its name. You'd think it would be a kink-friendly place. And, like, it's friendly, but, like, there's so much rape, there's so much non-con, there's so much, like, not following BDSM procedures on that website.
Right.
That... Like,
because that vocabulary confusion, I think, exists everywhere. I mean, the fandom is actually getting better, and fandom is better than many other places about working out these confusions, which also means, actually, that, I mean, that's also where context counts, right? I think we shouldn't make assumptions that the people reading 50 Shades are stupid for reading it, or will go home and decide to try it at home because they think it's a sterling example of something that looks like fun. But it's also true that fandom gives us a context for discussing these things, and fandom has these discussions around us, whether you want to have them or not. If you stay around in fandom, you will eventually see them happen, and you will eventually see people discussing the meaning of BDSM or BDSM verse or narrative kink against real life kink against, you know, these things, which we can imagine doesn't happen to people who buy 50 Shades of Grey just because their hairdresser and mother and cousin and dad are talking about it because it's in the newspaper and millions upon millions upon millions of people have bought it. And
I kind of feel like we're shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to that, though, because we, like, are so dismissive of them.
But, yeah, no,
we're not.
Yeah, this giving we're is not an answer.
Yeah, we're not giving them a, like, maybe they aren't aware of those, but if we have enough intelligent discussions where we don't, like, you know, the minute I see someone calling me an idiot, I'm more likely to hit the back button.
Yeah.
So even if you have, like, really good discussions about what's wrong with 50 Shades of Grey, if you're going to be dismissive or call people an idiot for liking it, they're never going to read it. So we're denying the chance to share this culture of, like, discussing what's wrong and, like, you know, narrative kinks and whatever from people who potentially might see it by our dismissiveness. And I don't, like, you know, maybe it's enjoyable for some of us, but it's not going to fix the problem. And, you know, some people aren't out to fix the problem. Some people just want to mock the shit out of it. But it's not, I feel like there's just so much bandwagon jumping. And, like, honestly, I was much more involved with the Twilight mocking because I actually, okay, I couldn't read the first book, but I listened to the audiobook of it. Mm-hmm. So I've actually consumed the first book. And I had a lot of problems with it, but, like, my biggest shock coming out of it was, like, why is this one so popular? I've read a million romance novels that basically tell this story but do it better, but are just as faily. Why aren't we talking about the million faily romance novels out there? Why is, like, this one just happened to hit a critical mass? But it's not like this is the only example of faily stuff out there.
No, but, like, it's complicated because depending who you're asking these questions to, some people are going to tell you, well, I've been talking about the other really bad stuff out there for a long while. Or some mm-hmm. people are going to be like, well, there's really bad stuff out there, but when it touches, you know, 6 million readers, it's bad. But when it touches 250 million readers, it's a lot worse. So yeah. Now it's serious, whereas before I wasn't concerned. So depending who you're talking to, they're going to have different answers. But I agree with you because it's weird to me because as fandom-wise, many people I know defend romance novels, right? Many people yeah. I know come from romance novel fandom, or they can see now that they've grown up and they have a fandom education and they've thought about things. They can see themselves in their mother's reading habits with romance novels. And so I feel like I'm not surrounded by that much negativity around that. But I guess it's the same crowd that's actually not critical of 50 Shades. I guess I'm mixing two different groups of fandom friends. It's my sort of Inception fandom friends who are... Inception at large is my main connection to fandom at large right now.
Yeah.
And the people who are close friends of mine are usually in agreement with me on 50 Shades, I guess. But the people who I haven't been so close and that I don't know for many years are usually the ones I see being critical.
Yeah. I think, like, there's definitely the critical mass aspect of it. Where it's like, it's so big, it's everywhere, you can't ignore it, and people keep trying to convince me to read it, but really, I know it's crap. Like, I get that there's, like, a point where you just want to lash out. Like, and I still, to a certain extent, do that with Twilight. Like, for a while, I would actively think less of you if you read Twilight, and I'm less likely to do that now, but I will still mock some of the themes in it. Where it's like, I cannot believe that, like, you know, I cannot take seriously that Jacob wasn't in love with Bella. He was in love, like, with one of her ovums. Like, he was in love with her egg.
Right.
And he could manage to confuse those things. Like, that as a premise, I'm going to mock. You know, and I hadn't read far enough to actually read those sides, but I just know that from summary. So maybe that's me getting on the bandwagon. But I just kind of... The point where you're, like, dismissing entire people or assuming that this reflects on their intelligence. And I think with romance novels, there has been a bit more, like you've got, like, websites like Smart Bitches Trashy Novels or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact name of that, where they talk about that, where they're like, we recognize that these are trashy novels, but there's also, like... There's also redeeming value to it. I feel like fandom is drawn to those things a lot. Like, Stargate Atlantis had so much fail with it.
Yeah.
Like, in the show itself. But that just kind of made it more interesting to us. Merlin, Teen Wolf, like, some of these big fandoms that really hit a critical mass, they have really faily bits to them that, like, just kind of make it more interesting because it gives us another thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And it gives us, like, you know, opportunity to write all these fix-it fix that we can work our meta into. Or, you know, just give us a place to, like, let's address racism or let's address homophobia. Or, you know, sometimes just let's go and have ridiculous fun with things that aren't, like, Stargate Atlantis would often, like, give us nuggets enough that would allow us to build really smart, really in-depth, detailed, beautiful things from it, but, like, the show itself often didn't delve too deep in, like, the things that they would cover. Like, the whole bit, like, that they would have, like, with, you know, the Elizabeth and Carson going through what they did with the race.
Yeah.
Like, that was really interesting detail, like, in-depth stuff that you could get into, and the show just kind of, like, hang a hat on it. They're like, isn't this deep and interesting? Let's move on. And they wouldn't go there. And that was great for us because it gave us a place to go there. But, like, the show itself didn't go there. Not really.
not in any satisfying way to me.
Certainly not, yeah.
And we don't have any respect for people that might do that elsewhere, like with these books or whatever. Like, you know, me, like, I grew up, like, my mom is kind of a prude, and I was raised in a very prudish way. And I'm actually, like, I still sometimes have trouble overcoming that, even in fandom. Like, I'm perfectly okay talking about sex, but when I try talking about sex as applied to me, I find it super, super hard.
Right.
And, like, I wasn't, like, I grew up with romance novels everywhere, so, like, it wasn't like I was that prudish that, like, I didn't know anything about sex or anything. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, maybe they don't even know that kink exists. Or that kink is something that they could find personally arousing because every time they've seen it, it's been like almost a caricature in a movie of like someone flicking a whip.
Yeah.
Or like wearing a lot of leather and they don't personally find that hot. But then they go in and something like Fifty Shades of Grey hits a critical mass that does talk about kink and maybe that'll be their gateway where they go and look into it more. Like, you know, when it comes to me in my personal life, I have probably been, I was very late in life coming out to myself as being into women.
Right.
And that was just because I'm bi enough that I can find guys attractive even though I don't particularly want to act on it. And so I just assumed I was straight. And it wasn't until I had been in fandom for years that finally I was like, No, I find girls more attractive. Maybe I should do something about this. And if I'm pretty sure that if it hadn't been for fandom, if it hadn't been like, you know, some of the change that's going on in our societies and culture and stuff, then I probably would have gone through my entire life assuming I was straight and just never wanting to have sex.
Right.
And so, you know, having people talk about it, bringing it to you, even though it's not like most slash fic is really that accurate of a depiction of gay life or whatever. Like, a lot of the time it's whatever it is. But, you know, it's not like it's necessarily accurate. It gave me the resources and it opened me up to the idea that I could look into actual resources in my life. So saying, like, oh my God, anyone who learns about BDSM from Fifty Shades of Grey is ruined, it's kind of like...
That's really dumb. Yes.
That's super dumb. That's really selling people short.
I mean, I started reading Emmanuel and the Story of O. And they were better written than Fifty Shades of Grey, but in terms of the toxicity of the ideas and the values presented, I'm really not sure they were any fucking better.
Yeah.
And all I learned was that I liked reading porn. All I learned from it was what led me to fandom and what I did in fandom later. And that, I'm not saying they didn't have an influence, I'm not saying they didn't shape me in some way, but it's not like, it didn't make me go out and look for a master,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't make me go out and buy a whip and start using it on people willy-nilly. And just, you know, it's, yeah.
And you know what? If you are a middle-aged housewife who maybe doesn't even go and research anything, who just reads a section of the book and was like, that, I want to try that, and takes it to their husband, you know, maybe it isn't proper BDSM etiquette. But they've been, you know, if they're middle-aged, they've probably been together for long enough that they can try something one-off and... You know, if it goes disastrously, it's not going to ruin their lives.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they can just figure things out on their own, that it's not going to be horrible if it doesn't follow the rules of outside society, because they're not intending to join kink culture. They just want to spice something up in bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they end up hurting themselves and they won't ever do it again. And maybe that story will get out and other people can learn from it. But, you know, someone deciding they want to try something a little extra spicy in bed is with someone that they're a long-term partner with that knows them. I don't really see it as dangerous as people are making it out to be.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And
especially, like,
I think with a lot of kink culture too, there's a bit of there's a bit more expectations of like, I'm in this culture, I signed up for this, I need to do it. But it's like, you know, if your husband just turns him over your knee and you're like, no, this isn't working for you, and he's just doing it because you said you wanted to try it, he's not going to, like, you're not going to feel as much compunction to just be like, let's stop now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not that unsafe of a learning environment if people are implying. It's not like they're going out and some people might go out and do this with strangers, but most of them probably won't. Or if they are doing it with strangers, there's a better chance that it is in kink culture where they do have these rules that they will quickly learn about.
Yeah.
So, hi, roommate. I don't know who it is. Sorry, my roommate just came home.
That's fine.
Are we meeting on Podfix?
Yes, and Fifty Shades of Grey at the moment. Leanne's like favorite thing is when she comes home to meta discussion.
Oh,
so.
Cool. But at the same time, I'm gonna be disappointing. But it's 3 a.m. now.
Yeah.
So
that's completely understandable.
It's not like I'm gonna fall asleep right away, but I still have a number of tabs to go through if I want to start kind of fresh tomorrow morning.
Okay, so those were like two topics that we covered pretty in depth, so that can be something I'll work with, and I'll re-listen to some of this and do some write-ups and get something to you.
Okay.
You said that you have people visiting right now?
I have people visiting every time. So, okay, did you say that the deadline for the audio is like the 12th?
Yeah, of August.
I'm going to be really busy starting from the 9th. So,
the due date for the written part is Saturday, and I don't want, especially as a mod, I don't want to push it that hard, so, I can't imagine I would drag this past July.
Oh, okay, right, but, like, if you give something to me before, like, July 2nd, August 2nd, then I will turn around and get it done before the 9th, because that will be the only few days. Like, I'm going to be alone between July 29th and August 7th, I think. So that,
okay.
I'm hopeful, even though I have a ton of other shit to do, but I'm hopeful that I will record Podfix then. And there will be some time for a pod together, obviously, in it.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. And, like, you know, even if worse came to worse and things got really pinched for time, you could always just record it and I can edit it if it needs that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that would make you nervous or whatever, but you know that I can edit, so.
No, it wouldn't make me nervous. But the thing is, editing, except if I really am too strapped for time, editing is not so much of an issue, because editing I can do with headphones even if I have a guest.
Okay, cool.
Recording is just more complicated because I have to say, it's not that my friends even mind, but it's just that when people are here, I'm reluctant to go, okay, I'm going to isolate myself, you know, to record something. Whereas it's easy to do something staying in the same room and I'm still available if they want a gesture and I can take my headphones off and...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try my hardest to make it for the actual deadline, which is Saturday. But I guarantee that I will get it done before the end of July.
Okay, cool. That's fine with me.
Awesome.
And you can certainly email me a draft or...
Yeah, I'll send some stuff. Because like I said, I want to make sure. The other thing that I was kind of thinking of that might be cool to do.
Right.
And I don't even know if it's going to work out. But I have really hard times writing meta not in the first person, where everything's like, I feel this way, I had this experience. And so I thought that it might be cool if we change the meta side. Like, I write that, but when you read it, we could change the pronouns and whatever, so you could be like, Lindsay feels this way, Lindsay had this experience. If especially if it's stuff that, like, I don't know. It's something to keep open if you want that. And if you have stories that you wanted to maybe add to whatever I write up,
I could go and write this in, and it, you know, feels this way, and then when you're reading it, you can say, I feel this way. I don't know. It was just something I was kind of thinking of.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. I'm intrigued. I'm not ruling it out at all. It seems interesting.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it'll depend what happens. I don't know, I'm just really conscious that I might be putting words in your mouth, especially when I'm talking about, like, my experience.
No, but that's fine. I mean, I mean, except if it bothers you to hear them talked in the first person by someone else.
That's part of
what I like about recording meta. And if I had, you know, if I had a problem with the text, I would tell you. Or if I know that you're interested in changing the pronouns and stuff, then maybe I can play with it and sometimes keep your eye and sometimes use a third person and try to make the difference clear or whatever.
That could be cool, too. If there's something that you don't feel is personally close to you, just saying, and Lindsay feels this way.
That's what I like about recording meta is, I mean, usually I know what I'm going to record before, obviously, because I read it before and I didn't. It's not like a blind challenge. But I really enjoy that, like, writing, taking something that usually sometimes has been written, like, vehemently like that with a sort of, you know, kind of energy to it and then just inhabiting the energy. It's kind of interesting.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better because I was, like, kind of panicking at the idea of, like, trying to make it third person or, like, removing myself, and I'm like, I don't know how to meta that way.
Absolutely do not have to. I've read enough of your meta to know what it's like, and I said yes in full cognizance of what the kind of stuff that you write, so.
Cool. All right.
Do not worry.
Sorry?
Do not worry.
Cool. Good. All right. So do you want to end it there?
Yeah. Just hang up and, I don't know, I'm going to try to close 5 tabs before I go to sleep.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.